chair. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. The head of the church, the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks amidst the golden candlesticks, found only one thing wrong with the pastor at Ephesus. Although he was persevering and zealous, he lacked love. Without this, all else was in vain. The King James rendering minimizes the seriousness of the charge by inserting in italics the word somewhat. In the Greek, it reads like this, "But I have against thee that thou hast forsaken your first love." This is no insignificant somewhat. The next verse shows that it was a total tragedy, calling for repentance. It is often said that the pastor of the church had lost its first love, but that's not what the text reads. It reads, "You have left your first love." This suggests a willful neglect. That's why repentance is called for. What was the pastor's first love? The fathers of the early church felt that this reference was to a lack of care for the poor brothers. But I'd like to connect this passage with Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 2, where God says, "I remembered your day of kindness in your youth and your love for your espousals," which suggests to me that the pastor had left his love for Christ. We know that when we were born into the kingdom of God, our first love was Jesus Christ. So I ask the question, did the zeal of this pastor in his defense of doctrine and scripture contribute to his condition? This is possible. In defending the truth and the doctrine of the church, it's easy to develop a harsh, critical spirit that is destructive of love. And often when the warmth of divine love is gone, people become more zealous in contending for the doctrines and standards more than spreading the love of Jesus Christ. This is a danger of which we all must guard. So what is this a picture of? It may be, of course, a picture of you. Don't be shocked when I say this. It is the picture of a carnal Christian. You may say, "I thought a carnal Christian was a backslider, somebody, for instance, who used to go to church but has run off with someone else's wife." No, my friend, that is only one kind of carnal Christian. I would not suggest that you were one of those. No, I'm talking about some Sunday school teacher. I'm talking about some pastor in his pulpit. I'm talking about some missionary on the field. I'm talking about many ordinary, average, earnest Christians. They talk all the language of salvation, and they mean every word. They are not hypocrites. They are tired, many of them, desperately tired, but they are not hypocrites. They are overwhelmed inwardly with a sense of defeat and frustration. But when you meet them, they will grip you by the hand and will say, "God bless you." They will thank you for all the encouragement that you have given them. Yet your very words will hurt them. They know what you don't know, that for years they have labored in vain. The fruit that has appeared to others have fallen to the ground premature, never to reproduce. Story after story could be told of men and women who bravely, doggedly, out of a sense of duty, go on and on and on. Yet deep down in their hearts, they're tired, almost beyond endurance. And yet, they do not know the answer. Are you like that? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.